Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. I'm Rich Ferguson, LA poet, musician, performer, and you are listening to Poet Escape. Welcome, everyone. Today, I am very pleased to have as my guest theater, literary, and music artist, Saria Idan. How are you, Saria?
I'm well. Thank you, Rich.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show. Writer, performer, musician, Saria Idan is committed to freedom of expression as a means to develop action, connection, and intimacy. She's the creator of the theater piece Homeless in Homeland. Saria's work focuses on personal and global struggle in conjunction with human resiliency. She has worked with prestigious theater and dance companies in New York and L.A. Her poetry has been featured in print and on audio compilations. As a vocalist and lyricist, she's currently putting together a neo-soul fusion band to perform both new and older material. Her album, Homeless in Homeland, which is a collection of original poetry and musical compositions about Jewish identity and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, was released in 2012. Saria, I'd like to begin today's show by having you talk about Homeless in Homeland and what the show is about and how it all came together.
Well, that's a lot of story, but Homeless in Homeland is based on a trip I took to Israel and Palestine a number of years ago, and it all came together actually. The ideas first were incubating in my mind when I was in college, and I was really starting to get interested in identity and interested in activism. I never really considered myself an activist, but I was very interested in justice movements. And I didn't hear a Jewish voice talking about being both Jewish and questioning the politics around Palestine or Israel's politics around Palestine. So it took me a few years, but I ended up going on a trip to Israel and Palestine. And the show evolved out of about 100 pages of poetry. And I originally thought it was going to be a poetry dance piece. And a woman who's a fabulous dancer and choreographer, as well as a director, Shamala Murthy, I approached because we had worked on some projects together through an organization called Great Leap in Los Angeles. And Shamala helped me kind of craft what the most important pieces were, the poetry pieces, to create an arc of the show. And through that process, she just looked at me one day and, you know, said, "Sorry, we both know that you're an actor and you need to actually embody these characters instead of talking about them." And so through that process, I became more of a character actor. And so I play 17 characters in the show, American, Israeli, and Palestinian, and all of the monologues that are Saria's monologues, because I'm playing myself, but myself as a character, and Saria's vernacular is poetry, so her monologues are very poetic, and then the rest of the characters speak in their vernacular, which is almost word for word what a lot of these people said. They're people that I either already knew personally or who I met when I was there. And then I could keep going. Do you have another specific question about Homeless in Homeland, or does that kind of sum it up for you, Rich?
Well, I have a couple more questions about the show, but in regards, one question that came up, when you took on the role of embodying these different characters, were there any different performance artists you looked to say, okay, I now have to play a bunch of different people. Let me look to other artists who've done this sort of thing.
I've always really looked to my own intuition first as an artist instead of copying the aesthetics of other artists. So at first I really just wrestled with embodying the characters and using the training that I had as an actor, both as a physical actor, as a dancer, and I had some physical training in different kinds of mime and clowning and different ways of getting character into the body. So I went to my training first, and I talked a lot with another solo show artist who's based in L.A. His name is R. Ernie Silva, who has a great show named Heavy Like the Weight of a Flame, and he's putting together two new works as well. And he and I talked a bunch about our process of embodying characters. But then I started looking at solo show artists like Anna DeVere Smith and Danny Hawk and a few others, but those are the two that I've looked at most. And they've both made a real career out of doing this kind of theater. Danny more creates characters. He writes characters based on people that he knows. Anna DeVere Smith really works more as a journalistic theater and records people in kind of interview style and then takes on their words word for word. But I kind of fell through this trapdoor of a bunch of solo artists who were all creating similar work. And so we share notes about process and experience and give each other critique. And those solo show artists are, some are in L.A., some are in the Bay Area, some are in New York, but I am part of kind of a family of solo show artists.
So do you consider it to be a work in progress, or are you sort of seeing it as a finished piece and ready to move on to other different types of pieces?
The show as it is now, the script is done. You know, the script has been the set script for about a year and a half, 2 years, since I did it at a festival in New York called the One Festival at La Tea Theater in, on the Lower East Side. But I'm doing the show on February 6th in Pasadena as part of the LA Women's Theater Festival kickoff this year, in 2014. And I'm hoping to do the show a lot more. So in that respect, the show, because theater is live, there's a way in which it's always shifting. But the show is set.
Right.
And at this point, I'm actually not so interested in doing more solo work. Homeless and Homeland for me was kind of a way for me to articulate what I experience as a new form of urban American Jewish culture. And I'm not alone in this. There's other artists, music artists, theater artists, who are also engaging and creating and participating in this culture. But it's not something that we see in the dominant media. So for me, Homeless and Homeland was a way to articulate that and then embody myself as an artist in other ways as well. I've been a songwriter and a singer since I was a kid, and I'm doing a lot more of that now. I'm starting to work on potentially some film projects. So,
yeah, I that was something I actually wanted to talk about next. You being a singer and lyricist, you're jazz trained, hip hop educated, influenced by the music of your roots. How have these different trainings come in to help to create the music that you are creating these days?
There's not a fixed method. You know, I write and create the sounds or work with other music artists who are creating sounds that speak to me and speak to the material that I'm writing, the things that I'm thinking, the things that I'm feeling. So, you know, really, someone recently said, you know, I needed to write a new bio about my music, and I had to take, like, a hard listen to my music and look at, you know, the different music artists that have really spoken to me over the years and the different poets that have spoken to me over the years, and then say, what is this stuff? You know, like, what has informed the way that I create? And that's the bio that I wrote, you know, jazz trained, hip-hop educated, and influenced by the music of my roots. And it resonates, you know, that it resonates. And I notice when I am in the creative process, when I'm drawing on my jazz training and when I'm drawing on, you know, klezmer, Ashkenazi Jewish music, cadence, or trope sounds. Trope is the Ashkenazi melodies for singing Torah. Or when I'm drawing on a hip-hop lyricism cadence. But it's not a clear, fixed process, as I'm sure you can relate to as a,
sure,
a fellow creator of word and sound. You know, I wish it was that easy that you just, like, devise a method and then always do that thing, you know?
Right.
But,
So you've collaborated with some different artists, you know, in creating music and different different projects. Why is this important to you?
I think we always there's always room to grow, and there's always room to be influenced by other artists, you know, and we can be bigger together, you know, when artists come together. It means that we're pooling our resources, we're pooling our audiences, we're pooling our thoughts, and it creates larger possibilities. I would go crazy if I spent all day, every day, just doing my own one thing, you know, and especially coming from a period of doing the solo show thing predominantly. It's a lot of time alone. It's a lot of time rehearsing alone and performing alone. And, you know, so I think coming out of that, I've also been craving to work with other artists and be influenced from them and share thoughts and see what other folks are doing instead of just sitting inside my own brain and body and emotional experience.
Yeah, are there any notable collaborations that come to mind that brought out certain aspects of yourself that may have surprised you?
Well, that's such a good question, Rich. You know, at the moment, the collaboration that's most notable for me is working with a band called Double Standard, and they're based in Vienna, and Paul Zaski, who's the bass player and the composer of most of their music, approached me to do some work with them after hearing some stuff from the Homeless and Homeland album. And working with them has, the track that I did with them is called I'm a Warrior, and it's on their album called Women in Dub. And on that track, I got to really take up space both as a vocalist and as a lyricist in ways that I hadn't so much in my own work. And more so than the creative, I've been on the road with them. I was in Austria performing with them, and then we did some shows together on the East Coast and the West Coast. On the East Coast, we were opening for Lee Scratch Perry and singing backup for him. And it's really the opportunity to be part of that community, part of this dub community, which I never thought of myself as part of. It's not a community that I was trying to be part of as a music artist. Mm-hmm. And to be in that cipher, to be in that world and around those musicians and around that culture has been very rewarding for me, and to be on those stages, both because of the vibration of the music and also the people that I've met. And that's not something that I had anticipated, you know, and so I'm very grateful for those experiences. So something I just find very ironic is there's actually a character in the Homeless in Homeland play called David, who is based on a man that I met in the Negev, who's part of the African Hebrew Israelite community. He's originally from Chicago, and he's an African American reggae musician living in Israel. And one of the things that he talks about in the show is he's trying to convince to stay in the Negev and be the band's backup singer. And it took me a minute to recognize that this was an interesting moment of my life coming back around through my art. But that, working with Paul Gatsby and Double Standard, it brought me into a new relationship with my work as a vocalist and lyricist, working on other people's compositions. And since then, I've started writing for music that I'm not writing, right? That people are bringing beats, and I'm starting to just write the vocalization, which is not something that I'm as used to. You know, I've done a lot more of the singer-songwriter thing, and from that, building up a larger sound.
Right. How would you say that your theater work has informed your music?
Well, I'm very narrative. I always think about there being some type of narrative arc, some type of beginning, middle, and end, and some type of catharsis, right? That the artist, the writer, right? And in this case, I'm the writer and the performer, right? But the writer, through the writing process, should go through some type of a catharsis in which they are cleansed or learn something about their mental and emotional reality, right? And this comes to us from Aristotelian theater, you know, and then through the ages of the Western canon of theater. But then as the performer, I always think there's kind of a narrative arc and a catharsis that needs to happen. And, you know, if a song doesn't have some type of beginning, middle, and end, whether in the content or in the musicality of it, I don't really think that it's not my work. You know, it might be someone else's style, but it's not a Saria Yidan piece, you know? So I think that's definitely a big part of it, how my theater has influenced my music work. But then also how to create a show. You know, some music artists are very casual with the way that they approach the stage. And sometimes I also am very casual, but being a theater artist has given me new perspective into the theatrics of a music performance. And
nice.
The different things that you can do a music performance, even if it is in a small and casual environment.
Well, we have a track of yours that I want to play in just a minute, entitled Why You Do. I was wondering if you want to say anything about it before we play the track.
Well, first I will say that this is it's some work that I co-produced with a man named Jordan Feinstein up in the Bay Area, and it's not yet in its final form of mix and release. And it's a piece that I wrote moving away from focusing on Israel-Palestine politics and identity stuff directly, but I wrote it the last time that I was in Jaffa, just south of Tel Aviv, and that's what I will, how I will introduce it for the time being.
That sounds great. Then why don't we go ahead and play it then. This is called Why You Do by Saria Yidan.
Thanks, Rich.
Alone and desperate, tells you to do things you know. yourself your right. Cause I think you're faking. Why you do what you do, what you do, what you do. Why you do what you do, what you do. Write the book that you defend. You know your authenticity is doubted. How do you think our days will end? If you keep on with what you do, what you do, what you do, what you do. Why you do what you do, what you do.
Never been my will. Persecution gives way to fear, but even still, I cannot swallow the false truth as you do still. Only when we love strangers as our brothers, and many times we build another sweet land of promise. That part of Torah you missed. So refrain using my name for your gain. Your greed is a shame that must be tamed, a beast that must be slain. It is you to drive insane.
That was Saria Idan with Why You Do. Saria, that was such a beautiful track and so lush and layered. What was the recording process?
Oh, gosh. Well, that recording process was a long recording process. I went into the studio with Jordan Feinstein, who's a great composer and singer in his own right, and a keyboard player. And we talked over exactly what we were going to do, and then hired a drummer and a bass player, and we went in and laid down just kind of the basic tracks at a studio called Decibel up in San Francisco. And then we added horns, and we added some MIDI instruments, some extra drum sounds. But we also realized after we finished laying down the bulk of the main instruments that the song was actually slower than it should have been. So we have to keep going back and forth between laying down instruments in the original BPM and then speeding it up. And so what you're hearing is the sped up version, but there's a lot of switching back and forth between the slower BPMs and the faster BPMs. And I actually did all of the vocal recording in the slower BPMs, and then it sped up. So the days when I was recording that, and we spent a lot of time on this track. God bless Jordan for being in betrayal land with me. The song was originally called Betrayal, and we kept on joking that it had betrayed us. but the days that I was recording vocals was just very, very slow. You know, this is a very interesting process of, because as an artist, we, you know, I think we sync our body rhythms to the things that we're working on. And so I would, you know, be in this very slow space of the original track, and then we'd all of a sudden speed it up, and it wasn't even that much faster, but it'd be kind of jolting, and we'd switch back and forth all the time.
Right.
So are the
two of you going to be doing more work together?
It's quite possible. You know, this was part of an MFA thesis project that I was doing at a school in San Francisco, and I've since moved back down to the Bay, from the Bay to LA. So, you know, we're not physically in the same place to do more work together. But if I'm up there or if he's down here, I would be super happy to work with Jordan some more, but we're just not in the same place to be working as much together as we were before.
Yeah, yeah. What's that?
I was just going to say he has a great project called Jordan and the Ritual, and I was singing backup for him some up in the Bay, and folks should check out his work. Jordan and the Ritual is the name of his project.
Cool. Well, speaking of backup singing, I want to touch on something that you mentioned earlier, Lee Scratch Perry. I was very impressed when I saw that you had performed with him. I know a guy that has played bass with Lee Scratch Perry from time to time. And how did you get involved with that, and how was the whole experience?
Well, performing with Scratch, like I said, it came to me through Double Standard. The guys out of Vienna approaching me to work on their record, Women in Dub. Paul Zaski, who's the bass player and composer of most of the Double Standard work, plays bass for Scratch, some in Europe and some here. And so it just kind of worked out that Women in Dub was going to be performing as part of the Dub Champions Festival in New York and D.C. and in Philly, and that we were going to be opening for Scratch. And so Scratch had us sing backup for him as part of those concerts. And Scratch is, you know, his mind has gifted us with a way of thinking about music that was very different. When he first started doing his thing in Jamaica way back in the 60s and 70s, and he's an old guy now, you know?
Yeah.
And he's wild. You know, I think most of us become more wild as we get older. And he's definitely into the theatrics of performance, and very much as kind of a dub poet, you know, but his theatrics are very mellow at this point because he's an older guy, you know. But, you know, being on stage with him was a trip just to kind of sink in with his vibration and recognize how much he's influenced the way that we think about music today.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, so we're getting close to the end of our time, but I want to touch upon something before we part ways. You know, community service work and educational outreach seem important to you. What are some examples of the work you've done, and what are some of the methods you employ when teaching?
I've done a bunch of teaching. You know, I've done a bunch of teaching. Mainly, I enjoy working with high school students. I started teaching when I was in high school, dance for younger kids. But after studying poetry in college a bunch, I started teaching mainly high school kids, mainly after-school programs and detention centers in Los Angeles. And then I did a bunch of after-school acting and writing classes up in the Bay Area. And I would say that my method for teaching is really to engage youth with their own stories and offer them the space to tell those stories and offer them the tools to tell those stories. And sometimes those stories are autobiographical and sometimes those stories are fictional. But I start often, whether it's a writing or an acting class, with just getting them to free write, getting them to think through their pens instead of before their pens hit the page, you know, and let themselves really feel actively and express that through language. And sometimes it's really an exercise for them to just get in touch with what they're thinking and what they're feeling. And sometimes it becomes crafted into poetic works or into, like stage scripts with multiple characters.
Nice.
So I could keep going, but that's the gist of that work.
Cool. So what's the best way for people to find out about you, your show, and your music online?
The best way is to go to my website. It's SARIYAH-IDAN, just my name but hyphenated, sariaidan.com. And I'm also all over the social media land. We can be friends on Facebook. We can follow each other on Twitter. We can look at each other's photos on Instagram. I'm also on Tumblr under Urban American Jewess. Jewess is J-E-W-E-S-S. So those are all of the internet ways.
Nice. Do you have any performances coming up?
I do. I'm going to be doing a music show on January 11th at a great little spot on La Brea called Room 5. It's just south of Beverly above the Amalfi restaurant.
Yes, know it well.
Yeah, come on down. That's your neighborhood, isn't it, Rich?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be at 8 o'clock. And then on February 6th, I'm doing the full show of Homeless and Homeland as the opening night for a kickoff festival for the LA Women's Theater Festival. So that'll be February 6th at 8 p.m. in Pasadena at the Fremont Center Theater. And you can find out about that more on my website or LA Women's Theater Festival, lawtf.com. And that's a great festival run by Adela Barnes, who also is a solo show artist. She's done a solo show for a number of years. It's been very successful.
Well done. Well, with me today has been writer, performer, musician, Saria Idan. Saria, thanks so much for being on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me, Rich.
Yeah, I also want to send out a big thank you to our show's sponsor for all your writerly needs. Please contact Tyson Cornell and the lovely Julie at Rare Bird Lit. You can find them online at rarebirdlit.com. Also, a big thanks to Tyson Cornell for production assistance with today's show. Poet Escape's theme music is by We Voice Sing. You can find them online at wevoicesing.com. You can find their debut CD of Wishbones and Gunfire on CD Baby, iTunes, Rhapsody, Spotify. Speaking of which, you can find me online at wevoicesing.com. YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. You can find my poetry collection, Eighth and Agony, on Amazon or at Punk Hostage Press. Tune in next week when I'll be featuring as my last guest for 2013, LA poet, educator, Peggy DeBrier. Until then, I'm Rich Ferguson, and thanks for tuning in to Poet Escape.